This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are as follows. A hybrid human-pig embryo. Gene editing saves two infants. Don't tweet your password. Alexa, yes. Alexa is being driven crazy by Alexa. And Gmail for POTUS? We'll see. Plus all the news that you can handle of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1173 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, January 26th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Or you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm, warm welcome to all of the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thank you for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. For those of you that are brand new to the show, I want to again welcome you and make sure that you take time and get over to geeknewscentral.com. That way, when you're over on the website, you can subscribe to the podcast. It's very easy, either via iTunes, Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, RSS as well. And we hope soon to add iHeartRadio to that stack as well. So that's that may be forthcoming. We'll see. But, of course, there's a link to the newsletter as well on the webpage. We'll want you to get signed up for that. But more importantly, just spend some time on the website and go over all the great content that my content creators are creating. I've got a lot of great stuff on the website right now, and we'll be talking more about that during tonight's show, of course. So if you have, you know, a comment on the show, and best way to reach me is email geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, you can follow me on our Slack channel, and we can, and folks have been chit-chatting over there a little bit here and there. So definitely request to join the Slack channel. And really, I've had a huge influx of invites to other Slack channels, and it's just getting really, well, I think I'm following 7 different Slack channels now. I had to drop a couple of them, but it's really a great way to communicate and to stay connected. So I really want you to jump in. And if you haven't had exposure to Slack yet, let me tell you something. Once you get the bug, you're going to want to use it for more of your applications at work and maybe even with family and friends. But you can follow this show and follow me on Google Plus and on Facebook. You can watch the show on the Roku, on the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show. Stitcher, Blueberry.com, or tell Google Home to play the podcast and then the show's name, and that will, it will do that. So thanks for the correction. I called it Google Play on the last show. But, of course, we want to remind you of our partner shows, and those are all linked up on the website. We've got the New Media Show, the Pro Gear Site, the Gadget Professor, Health Tech Weekly, No Better Than Average, and, of course, the Podcast Legends Show, which I have been remiss at getting an episode up. But now it's a new year, and I got a little time to breathe. I'll be able to do that. Hey, our sponsor show, of course, is the longest running sponsor of any podcast known to man, and that's GoDaddy.com. We want you to take time, and if you're thinking about picking up a domain name, if you're thinking about starting a website, if you're thinking about really anything that's associated with being online, we want you to definitely consider GoDaddy. And all my codes are available for you to use at geekcentral.com/GoDaddy. 30% off on new product purchase, 99cent.com. 1 month free trial of website builder, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year, includes a free domain, $1 a month manage WordPress hosting for the first year, again with a free domain. So economy and manage WordPress, two little bit different products. Definitely check them both out. But don't forget to use my codes. The codes are the key to keeping the lights on here at Geek News Central, and we want you to continue. GoDaddy has helped tens of thousands of our listeners to get online and start a, you know, a blog or start a family project or start a business. So, you know, definitely get over to GoDaddy.com. They've been a longtime sponsor of the show. And your utilization of those codes, especially when you cut and paste it in, that guarantees the code is used, number one. And it also gives a better indication of how many folks from this show are actually utilizing the code that way versus just clicking on the link. So definitely use my code. Share them with your family, friends, people that you know. As a matter of fact, just had someone tell me the other day, hey, share your code with a coworker. And he got hooked up with a WordPress, managed WordPress site. So exciting, along with a domain. And if you can't find a .com, don't worry. There's lots of .dot somethings for you to choose from these days. So definitely, again, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here and for all of you supporting our sponsor, making sure that we keep the lights on here and do what we have to do. Okay, let me go in my, I've got just a few things to talk about tonight before we get into the show. Don't know if I mentioned it on the last show, but my wife did a down and back to Japan. She left Monday evening. So probably mentioned on the Monday show. I can't remember. Spent Tuesday with her sister. Got in, well, she got in pretty late. Spent all night, all the next day, and then about 6 o'clock, she was back at the airport, and then flew home and got back Wednesday morning about, I think she got at the house about 9:30. So 48 hours, a little less than 48 hours round trip to Japan and back. So she had a good time, and she got home. I don't know what was, first of all, she got a first class seat, and that was awesome both ways. So she's able to sleep. And she got home, and we keep the house clean. We don't, it's not like we could destroy it in 2 days, but last night I was like zombie eyes, and by 9 o'clock, you know, it's unusual for me to go to bed before 11. And then by 9, I was in bed. But when I got up this morning, I came into the living room and kitchen, and like the furniture's been moved, and I'm like, and she was already left for work because she leaves at 5 a.m. This morning she left a little earlier than that, and I'm just looking around, and I'm like, wow, it was a miracle what happened in here. So ladies, how do you do that? I could have made it look that good if I tried. Meanwhile, my office, oh my God, you know, luckily you can only see like the camera view here. And actually we emptied the trash before the show tonight, because I said, oh, I could see trash in the trash can. So, yeah, this office needs a gone through. So we'll probably do that. I'll probably do that this weekend. Going to the gym this week. So I've got, I went Tuesday, Wednesday. Of course, we went Saturday, Sunday. Monday, they had a show. Tonight, not going. Tomorrow, I'm going. So I guess I'm trying to go about 5 days a week. And, you know, so we'll see what happens with the weight, and I'll keep you advised. But, you know, one thing I've noticed, people have, I thought during the election that people were going to, like, after the election, people are going to calm down a little bit. People have lost their minds. Lost their mind. And it's not just one side. Lost their minds. They're freaking. I mean, it's, I've never witnessed anything quite like this from an online perspective. And at times it's vile. At times it's over the top. I'm just kind of like, wow, is this going to calm down at all? I don't know. Is it the media that's continuing to, you know, push the news cycle? I think everyone should just take a deep breath and turn Facebook off and turn the news off for a few days. It might do us all good just not to watch any CNN, Fox, MSNBC, or any of that stuff. You know, turn NPR, turn everything off. Just listen to podcasts and be calm. Listen to some non-political shows, and let's, for the people that are losing their minds, let's get our lives back here. Let's get back on track. And we're all going to wake up tomorrow. We're going to put our socks and shoes on the same way. It's just like, I had hoped it would kind of like relax, and it just hasn't. But anyway, to distract you, all the CES content is busting out. The team is putting up content every day. So if you've got a violin player in your house, you want to check out this thing called Jamzy. It's pretty awesome. So there's a video on that. I got information about Amadeus, which is talking about Z-Wave. And this, matter of fact, a little bit of a secret here. This particular interview that I did with this firm, we were over in TechWest, and people are, there's 600 startups there. They're all looking for attention, and they were pretty aggressive. And this company was really aggressive, and so I gave them an interview, and they're using Z-Wave technology, but definitely high-end fixtures. For most of us, probably can't afford some of the fixtures they had, but the door lock mechanism with Z-Wave was $300 to $400. But anyway, definitely check it out. And then they have an interesting way of actually charging it if the battery goes dead. And of course, IO Labs was analyzing my skin and using a cell phone, taking a picture of my forehead and telling me what was wrong with my skin. And so this is a way for ladies, if you want to analyze your skin. And then, you know, this product, you know, I thought it would be good for a few YouTube views, but really what it boils down to is, and it's a trust thing, because I told him, I said, you're recommending products that based upon a skin analysis from a cell phone, you're giving a customer a list of two or three products to buy, and some of them were not inexpensive. I said, how do I trust you in recommending products that are going to work? Because I say, if I'm going to go out and spend $100 for these three products that you're recommending, when I use this on my skin, I better, in a very short order, start seeing an improvements in this analysis. I said, you know, are you partnering up with? So I'm a little, you're going to have to, if anyone buys this product, I want to hear from you. Because, you know, I don't know if it's a marketing play or, you know, there's a couple of ways to look at this. So definitely check out the video and let me know what you think. Of course, OtterBox, we talk to them every year. And this year they're doing cell phone covers. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, I've seen every cell phone cover in existence, but they got this universe case system that's pretty cool. So we talked to them about that. Company called FeetMe. We've got an interview with basically I talked to a UNLV track and field runner, and pretty serious with her about asking how it fits, how it feels, what the, you know, she's a professional runner, so I'm, you know, getting information about the feedback. And then basically this foot insert has sensors in it, and it tells the person how to improve their stride, and if they're, you know, carrying a little bit on one side or another. So I think you'll find this pretty interesting for any of you out there that are putting the miles in. FeetMe might be something you'll want to take a look at as an insole. TitoCare, another interesting product that's coming to market. This isn't fully available yet. They're working with healthcare providers at this time. But basically, if you have a kid with an ear infection or running a temperature, you can basically send everything that a doctor would do at the doctor's office, take it, you know, look at the ear ball, listen to the heart, get the temperature, look at the throat, and basically send all this data to the healthcare provider, never leave the house, and to work to get that prescription that you're going to need at the, you know, because we all know when kids get ear infections and so forth, we have to go to the doctor to do the formality to get the prescription, right? Meanwhile, take a couple hours to take the kids. So this is service is going to be pretty cool. So it talks about Tidal Home, and no, they didn't take a picture of my ear. I was a little bit weirded out that they would. Another video that's up is called SE3D. It's about 3D printing that's using plants and seeds. And this is pretty cool. This is definitely something different. And some of the stuff we're going to talk about during the show today. And, well, actually, this wasn't plants. Sorry. This was a, it's a bioprinter. It uses organic materials to build structure by using plant or animal cells. The model can be used to do experiments and trials. So, and I teased this lady that I talked to when she walked up. I didn't really read her name tag. And this lady is like a serious a PhD holder in bioscience, and she's behind this 3D printer. So this thing is really pretty awesome. And I was, you know, kind of teasing her at the beginning, can I order a kidney? And she laughed and she said no. But anyway, those are some of the videos that have been put up from CES since the last episode. A couple that were up that I didn't notice, the Amazon integration with the Amazon Echo integration with Ford Sync. And another one was Sync bringing multiple apps to the dashboard. So all that stuff is on the website. And you guys have been hitting it hard. The number one video so far is a little over 34,000 views in just a few days. So what's interesting is, and what I was going to tell you guys tonight, is I've been posting the content not only on Geek News Central as a podcast, but I've also been posting it on Facebook three at a time, and also over on YouTube. So I'm, you know, I'm pretty much behind over there. But Facebook, so I told you the number one video right now has got about 34,000 views, all the way down. The lowest one on Geek News Central, probably between 7,000 or 8,000. It's pretty good numbers to start off with. But on Facebook, about 100 max views on Facebook, and then over on YouTube, maybe top one is like 30. So as a podcaster, I'm like, yes, the strategy is still working, being Geek News Central, to put the videos is where it's king. It's where the where you guys are coming to get the content. So I'm pretty jazzed about that. And I was trying to do some comparisons and look at how many views that the videos were getting across the three platforms. So, and I've been linking back from YouTube and Facebook back to Geek News Central. So I'm pretty excited about basically nothing's changed from a standpoint of how the content's being watched on the website. Even though social media is still big, you guys are still coming to the website. Okay, so that is kind of my beginning of the show, and talking a little bit about the stuff on Geek News Central. And now let's get into the regular stack of stuff. And I had a lot of stuff tonight. I had to kill some of the articles, but I entitled this one "Order Me a Kidney," and I'm serious. This is coming. We've talked about this many times on the show. Researchers have created the first viable hybrid human pig embryo. Now, people are like, "What? What are you talking about? They're cloning or something?" No. The breakthrough, they're saying, could one day lead to grown organ transplants. Or researchers have created a viable hybrid part human, part pig embryo for the first time. According to a study published in the journal Cell Thursday, researchers were able to successfully inject human stem cells into a pig embryo and grow tissue inside the embryo that would form the early stages of a human organ, like a heart, liver, pancreas, kidney. Although it is in a very early stage, experts believe the human pig, they're calling it a chimera, and I don't even know what that word means, could one day be used to grow transplantable human organs in farm animals. Now, we've talked about them just growing them in a petri dish or in a printer, or, you know, the variety of different things here going on, but this is pretty controversial stuff. And, you know, people are, you know, get a little weirded out here. But let me just back up for a second. If you had a kid, if you had a family member who was going to dialysis every day, or doing multiple insulin injections a day, or had a chronic heart failure, and with no prospect of a heart on the near horizon or a kidney, and obviously there's no cure right now for diabetes. If you had a family member, do have a family member in that condition, and you could provide the base cells and the blood and everything needed to basically create your replacement part, I don't think people care how it's grown. If it works and it doesn't get rejected, And they go into talking about how they were able to create a hybrid mouse-rat embryo. In that study, researchers grew a mouse pancreas inside a rat, which was then transplanted into a diabetic mouse. The new pancreatic tissue cured the mice's diabetes without being rejected by the host because they removed some things within the embryo or whatever they did. The mice only required a few days of recovery and immunosuppressive treatments before they were able to resume normally healthy lives. So this is pretty out there stuff. But if you've got a family member that has chronic heart failure, is a diabetic and tied to the pump or, you know, poking your finger every day or needs a kidney or two, I think most people won't give two rats asses where the, how it's created, as long as they can get close to where, you know, I think desperate people are willing to take desperate measures as long as there is, you know, a level of safety and enough testing is done. This is going to happen. It really is. I can't see it not. If it doesn't happen in America, it will happen somewhere else. So some people may completely disagree with me here, but scientists are getting smart on this stuff. And, you know, they're going to get protocols down so that, when this goes mainstream, you know, you're not going to have to worry. It's, you know, you're going to be able to order a part. It's exciting stuff. And sure, there's probably going to be some issues and they're going to probably have to go through Congress and everything else. But, you know, another case as an example, you know, because we're talking about order a kidney, but now what about gene editing? And gene editing is another controversial thing because, you know, we could get to a point where people are doing gene editing and all kinds of stuff to get the baby they desire, right? Well, two infants diagnosed with an aggressive and previously incurable form, and now listen to me, an incurable form of leukemia are now in remission after British doctors say they cured the babies by using so-called designer cells. It is the first time in history that cancer has been treated using genetically engineered immune cells from a donor. In each case, scientists engineered a type of immune cell called a T cell, which all of us have heard of that, to attack cancer cells. Each of the two infants, aged 11 and 16 months, had undergone many previous treatments, and all of them had failed, including chemo. One of the infants attracted press attention in the fall when scientists at Great Ormond Street Hospital announced that Richards, who was diagnosed with cancer just 3 months old, was vastly improved just a few months after beginning a treatment. But at the time, scientists were hesitant to say that she'd been cured. Now scientists say that Richards is in remission and that they've cured a second baby as well, lending more evidence to the therapy's effectiveness. The treatment entailed collecting blood from the donors, isolating healthy immune T cells, and then using a genetic engineering tool known as TALEN to deactivate certain T cell genes that would normally cause them to be rejected once transplanted into a leukemia patient. The T cells were also engineered to attack cancer cells directly. Similar treatments using engineered T cells have been highly successful against blood cancers. So It fight fire with fire, right? Fight fire with what our body naturally produces. And when stuff gets out of whack, you know, re-engineer those to go back and go after these cells that are cancerous. And so we'll see what this happens long term. But here you've got two children that were more than likely headed for a bad ending. They're now in remission. Time will tell, but for me, you know, it's exciting. If you can't get excited about this, and maybe some of you have religion reservations for it, that's fine. But I'm telling you, this is gonna change the world. This stuff. So the doctors are getting close here. Okay, so switching topics completely. Apparently, White House press secretary Sean Spicer has tweeted plenty of dumb things, and among us, who hasn't? But this morning, he may have accidentally compromised the security of his Twitter account because he basically sent out a tweet with what really looks like a password, N9Y258H7. Oh, it's a not very good one because he should have used uppercase N or A, and he should have used a special character somewhere. So it really was a relatively weak password for a 1234567888. Yeah, relatively weak password there, Sean. It really wasn't long enough to be a cryptographic hash, but it's just about the right length to be a Twitter password. But it is, again, would make for a terrible password. So hopefully they're able to give those folks over there some security lessons. Now, another thing is that's going on over there is that some researchers are finding that some of the Twitter accounts have been secured by Gmail accounts. And I'm sure what happened, and I know this is, it's already changed, at least the president's Gmail, a president's Twitter account is now on a .gov, assigned to aligned with a .gov email address. But it was originally looked like it was assigned to one of the staff people. And it probably happened during the transition. Things were quickly transferred. These guys hadn't, you know, in any of you that worked in government, and not to bust on the IT guys very hard, but, you know, all these people rolled into their job after the inauguration. They probably had to go through, or were assigned a bunch of training to do that was required for them to get their CAT card and get their email address issued and all the hoops that the government folks have to run through to get their basically issued their email address. And even though you would think that the presidential, the White House would probably have priority on getting all that stuff rolled out, they've been finding some of the staffers are still using non.gov email addresses. And if that better come to a halt in a New York minute. I think we all know where that could go sideways. And, we've already been through an issue of people using private email addresses. And it was basically also revealed some people were using some Republican National Committee email addresses. So those folks need to get their stinking training done, get their CAT cards, get their email addresses added, and get off those public email systems. Get on the government train. But it looked like a bunch of the Twitter accounts were assigned to, you know, commercial Gmail accounts for a little while. And they've been, as of this afternoon, they were switched over to .govs. But they're moving fast over there, but they got to do the basics. And, the people are going to demand it after, with Hillary using her private email server. This stuff is not going to be stood for by anyone. And the press is rightly calling them to task to get on their right email account. So there's been some question, too, about the president using his old Android phone. I just find that hard to believe because I think the Secret Service actually took President Obama's BlackBerry away and issued him a separate phone. So I'd be surprised if they were allowing that, and definitely not on the White House network. It would be on a public network, which is even worse. So I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully they'll address it. But I think those of us that live here in the United States who are taxpayers, who want to make sure that transparency is at work and nobody's using a personal email account, because I'm going to call them out if that continues or if it seems like it's continuing. Okay. So, I wouldn't be surprised. That being said, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them do not have their email accounts even issued yet. I don't know how many people work at the White House, 200-300. I'd be honest with you, I don't know what the staff number is, but get them issued. I mean, get your training done. Oh, man, I do not miss sitting through the boring security. Hey, if you're in an office and there is a, are you allowed to leave your computer logged in? Or if you are in an office, are you allowed to send a classified email over a non-classified, you know, some of the training is kind of kindergarten stuff, but maybe some of these folks, we, it has to be kind of maybe spelled out to them, I guess, in kindergarten ways. I don't know, but so anyway, we'll see how it goes. We'll keep an eye on it. And Ray and Rita, Ray, welcome to the show tonight. Appreciate it. Okay, bada bing, bada boom. I found something out, and by Mike Dell, and he's our support guy at Raw Voice Blueberry. And did you know that you can rename Alexa? I didn't know you could, but apparently a lady by the name of Alexa has been having a pretty miserable time with her parents and a Amazon Echo in the house. They don't know who, she doesn't know if they're talking to the, as she calls it, the robot, or talking to her. And so anyway, the Wall Street Journal has a cute little video. And but yes, you can change basically how Alexa responds to you. You can call it computer or stupid, or there's, you basically can change how it responds. So I didn't know you could do that. And to be honest with you, I don't know where. I'm sure it's somewhere in the settings. But if you don't like calling your Echo Alexa, make the change. What are you calling your Dot? What are you calling your Echo? Tell me the names you've assigned to your devices, or what did you change it to now that I have told you you can change it. So anyway, that's just a little information for you. All right, as we expected, U.S. Congress has today asked the FCC to snuff out the set-top box deal that the previous administration had going. The proposal advanced by former FCC Chief Tom Wheeler pitted the TV and movie industry against big tech and consumer groups trying to bypass formal comment procedures, and basically they're trying to shut down so that cable providers do not, they don't want to open up cable boxes to folks, you know, basically a Roku box replacing it or something like that. So, you know, this has kind of been almost dead on arrival for a while. And it was dumbed down quite a bit, but they basically sent a notice over and told the new FCC chief Ajit Pai to kill it. So we'll see what happens. But basically, the set top box plan would have really helped a lot of us, and would have gave some players some equal playing. Basically, you level the playing field. Ultimately, the leveling of the playing field is going to be accomplished when everyone cuts the cord from cable and just uses their internet connection only. That's when things are going to change, for sure. All right, a little bit of science news. Hubble, of course, we talked a little bit about science news with the gene stuff, but the Hubble Space Telescope, there is five different universities, did five separate studies looking at five separate star clusters. And they're basically trying to determine the Hubble constant. And what that really means is they're trying to determine if the Hubble constant that's showing the speed of the expansion of the universe is can be confirmed across multiple science teams. And they all came back with a pretty relatively close number, within about 3.5% of each other. But they found some stuff. A couple of teams did that hints at some things that fall outside our understanding of physics at this point. Basically, some objects moving a little faster than others, different expansion rates, especially in what they're calling old universe or old, you know, basically out further. So it's an interesting read. It's over on thedailygalaxy.com. I have a link up in the show notes for those of you that are astronomy buffs. In Russia, a top Russian cyber intelligence officer who U.S. officials say led last year's election hacking was arrested this week. Sergei Mikhailov, a senior member of the Federal Security Service, FSB, aka KGB, is charged with treason. For now, one Russian newspaper reports indicates that the arrest isn't related to the election. Dun, dun, dun. According to an article, the arrest stems from this individual's work on a criminal hacking investigation. However, Moscow Times reports that the senior officer was arrested on suspicion of leaking information to the U.S. intelligence officials. So, if this guy was the guy that was leading the hacking for the election, okay, he was leading the hacking for the election, who then fed the data to WikiLeaks, who then released it, who then, if this guy was the same guy that did that, that said, I did it and told U.S. intelligence that he did it, makes, you know, it's, you know, spies and treason. Could be a little drama here. It could be the Russians are looking for a way to go poof, poof, and, you know, say, hey, we caught the guy that was hacking the elections. You know, he's been found guilty. We shot him in the head. You know, situation's over. Let's be friends. That's what it could be. He's the guy that's going to take the fall. He's going to take the bullet or the noose or whatever. They get rid of their treason. They're traitors in Russia. I don't think they put them in jail like we do. I think they shoot them or hang them. So we'll see what happens here. This report follows a report earlier this week that Kaspersky Labs researchers Russell and Stoyanov was also arrested for treason in December. Details are scarce on his arrest, but the security firm says the incident isn't related to this other guy's arrest. I think in Russia with Putin in control, it's just like China. You say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, you just end up in a dark hole or in a ditch. I don't think there's too many, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I think, Putin has his way and just, you know, offs people. You ever buy glasses online? Ever get the wrong size glasses? They didn't line up, do what you wanted to do. Well, I've got to help you article. What do you need to know when buying glasses online? How that fit in the tech stuff, I don't know, but I thought it was cool. Another article, Google Maps on Android now warns you of difficult parking areas in metro areas. In Hawaii, when you get down in Waikiki, I've got a few secret places that I go park that I don't tell anybody about. No one. And I have a few, like, places that I go that are, I can finagle my way into a free parking for a couple of hours, but usually requires me to, you know, buy a little knickknack or something to get out of the parking lot without paying a parking fee. So that, you know, there's ways around parking in Honolulu without having to pay huge money, but finding parking can be a challenge at times. But they've got perfect parking difficult ratings in San Francisco, Seattle, Miami, Atlanta, Boston, Charlotte, Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, New York City, Orlando, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, San Diego, St. Louis, Tampa, Washington, D.C., Cleveland, Dallas, Fort Worth, Denver, Houston, Phoenix, Portland, and Sacramento. Aw, left us out here. So if you're in any one of those cities, you can get parking help by Google Maps. The FCC's first action under new chairman will direct up to $170 million in federal funding to help the ease of the digital divide in New York State. The commission voted Thursday to approve the funds as part of the Connect America program, which is designed to invest in broadband deployment and infrastructure in rural and underserved areas. So $170 million. Why don't they roll out $170 million for every state? Isn't there some states that are more rural than New York State? I understand, but you guys are, you know, you're going to get pretty connected there. If And maybe not. Some of you in New York State still on dial-up, or, you know, is it that slow up there? It just surprised me, such a high population density. The folks over at Gizmodo have reviewed a pretty cool lamp. And if you're on the coast or near salt water, this might be something you want to invest in. It is a saltwater lamp. And all you need, again, is salt water to power the lamp for 80 hours. Hurricanes, earthquakes, there are plenty of legitimate reasons to prepare for the end of civilization. And I laugh, Gizmodo puts a little snide remark in here. Hurricanes, earthquakes, and elected officials. Is that really necessary? Is that just a little bit of a, you know, a shot there? Come on, be adults. So anyway, there are plenty of legitimate reasons to prepare for the end of civilization or an emergency. So for $57, you can pick up a salt water powered lamp with an LED light. So pretty cool stuff. All right, back to the stack. Amazon has, we talked about this last year, but a little update on it. Amazon's been working for a while now to build out its shipping and distribution network. Now the retailer has started coordinating its own shipments out of China to its warehouse in the United States via ocean freighters. The Wall Street Journal reports that the company doesn't own any ships. Of course, those are, you know, they just rent space on them. But it's working as a freight forwarder after their approval to be one late last year. So far, Amazon has coordinated a shipment of 150 containers from China since October. Doesn't seem like a lot. You know, a container is basically a semi-trailer full of stuff. So, you know, that's really not that much stuff. 150, consider probably the volume of the Amazon. They, you know, I wouldn't be surprised they move 150 trailer fulls of stuff a day, you know, as much stuff as going through Amazon. But they're trying to lower cost, you know, at every chance that they get it, they get. As reported over in Gizmodo, that the NSA has found a new way to categorically deny Freedom of Information Access, a Freedom of Information Act request. And basically, Gizmodo requested information on a company called SCL Group. And the response they got was, please be advised that due to the changing security concerns, this is now our standard response for all requests where we reasonably believe acquisition records are being sought on a contract or contract-related activity. This reply came to them 3 days before the election, so it wasn't a post-election result where the agency says they declined to even conduct a search for records about the company. So the response appears to indicate that the NSA will no longer release or even search for any records pertaining to the private contractors it works with. SCL Group is a UK-based behavioral research firm that has repeatedly worked with the Department of Defense in the past. Its subsidiary, Cambridge Analytica, was a central component of the Trump campaign winning strategy, including two other presidential candidates used it. Was it Rubio? And I read about this before, but there was two, I think there were three presidential candidates that used that company. But essentially, they're just saying, hey, we're not going to, it's basically the equivalent of saying we cannot confirm or deny. We're not going to search or even look. But Gizmodo is going to appeal this denial and see what happens here. But full link is up in the show notes. You know, one thing that we've seen is a systematic attack by press and tech writers against anyone that has even appeared to align with President Trump. So today there's a hit piece in Gizmodo, and it's about some of the stuff I talked at the beginning of the show, that people have lost their minds. There's a hit piece. They try to make it sound in one aspect that, oh, he's being so successful. They're talking about Elon Musk. how he's being so successful, but he's only been so extra successful since the president got elected. Tesla Motor shares have surged more than 40% since December, as Bloomberg notes in a new report. The price of Tesla stock isn't the only thing looking dandy for Elon Musk under the Trump presidency. Besides the soaring stock price, Tesla also just completes the acquisition of another Musk-backed company, SolarCity, and now Tesla's Gigafactory is ready to ship. Made in America hardware. This comes at a time when other influential person, when one other very influential person is eager to promote American-made manufacturing, President Donald Trump. On the surface, Musk and Trump are an odd pairing. Musk is a South African-born African-American immigrant who spends much of his time building clean and renewable products. Trump, on the other hand, was born into a wealthy East Coast family and appears to be spending efforts on doing the opposite. And they go on to talk about, you know, Trump and his oil decision and all this other stuff. But then they go on to subvertly talk about how Musk is now aligning himself and going to meetings, and he's an insider now of the Trump campaign. So, of the Trump presidency. So, mark my words. You're not going to see as much positive reporting on Tesla and Elon Musk for the foreseeable future. And the surface, this article, if you read it, you're kind of like, oh, he's doing well. But then it talks about private meetings, going to the White House, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all these things. And then he goes, talks about the Secretary of State and how Elon Musk is now in favor of that nomination, blah, blah, blah. So it's a hit piece against Musk. A guy that is super successful, SpaceX, Tesla. I wouldn't say so much for SolarCity. I'm not a fan of SolarCity. But in one hand, see, he's a great person. He's doing great things. Now he's aligned. And it just watch. Just watch. Systematically, anyone that aligns, that these writers don't, they don't like it. So this is a little bit of an underhanded hit piece here. And what, the guy's been in office, what, 3 days, 4 days? You know, I know he's decisive, but, you know, the world is crumbling. And even the UK today kind of did some pushback because in his enhancing public safety order, it was a executive order that he signed, the president did, is that he said agencies, and it's under, and what's under, coming under fire is section 14 of that executive order, saying agencies shall, to the extent consistent with applicable laws, ensure that their privacy policies exclude persons who are not United States citizens or lawful permanent residents from the protections of the Privacy Act regarding personal identifiable information, PII. So there's going to be a whole discussion about that clause, but people were freaking out that it, the language appears to directly contradict a critical component of the new Privacy Shield Agreement between U.S. and Europe that provides essential legal protections for U.S. businesses sending and receiving data across the Atlantic. And it's all about the EU privacy policies and everything else. But the European Commission put out a statement, the way it's worded, in an effort to calm the waters, we are aware of the executive order on public safety, noted the statement. The U.S. Privacy Act has never offered data protection rights to Europeans. It those goes on to flag two pieces of new legislation that it believes made the new Privacy Shield legal under European law. The Commission negated two additional instruments to ensure that EU citizens' data is duly protected when transferred to the U.S. Number one, the EU-U.S. Privacy Shield, which does not rely on the protection under the U.S. Privacy Act. So it's a separate deal. And the EU-U.S. Umbrella Agreement, which enters into force on February 1st. To finalize this agreement, the U.S. Congress adopted a new law last year called the U.S. Judicial Redress Act, which extends the benefit of U.S. Privacy Act to Europeans and give them access to U.S. courts. but they're saying that the way the language is set up is it doesn't affect these other two agreements we've already set. So at least the Europeans are saying this. I haven't heard the United States side, but the Europeans are saying that they're okay with that clause because it didn't affect the agreement they have based on the other two laws that were put in place and probably none of us ever heard of. But the only difference here is that Canada and Mexico are not part of that agreement, these two separate laws. So there are some questions now. So we'll see where this goes on a privacy standpoint. But this enhancing public safety order was in the executive order that's tied to something to do with immigration. I'm just going to let this kind of get filtered out, and we'll talk about it as more things come. But one thing we can say, lots of activity, lots of things to talk about. I think we have lots to talk about when it comes to tech, privacy, when it comes to fair use, when it comes to stuff that the FCC is going to do. We'll see. I'm sure there's going to be a lot to discuss in the coming weeks and months. So hold on to your hat. Now try to decipher it as best I can. And please, if you guys have a different read on it, I want to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. As I have always said, I'm an equal opportunity basher. If I don't think it's right, we're going to talk about it. It doesn't matter who's in office. You know, we've been doing this show for 12 years. We've had no holds barred on either side of the aisle. So I'm going to lay it out there and let you guys kind of digest it and make comment where you may. So we'll keep an eye on all this stuff that's going on. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of stuff to talk about. We'll try to keep it tech related and stuff that we've talked about within this show. We'll try not to, I don't want to politicize it and get you guys mad. We're going to talk about stuff in the show that we've talked about forever, okay? That we're big advocates here and what it ultimately means to us and folks that are outside the United States, all right? Okay. Ray, what were you laughing about? Hey, Alphabet. Yes, ABC.XYZ. Alphabet is their betting or their bets, their investments are doing real well. So Alphabet's other bets, I got to take my earphone out. I got a sore ear for those of you watching. I'm sorry. So the investments they've had have recorded $262 million in revenue, a healthy jump from $150 million in the quarter a year ago, with only a loss of $1.2 billion. $1.1 billion in the fourth quarter. So $4 billion invested in 2016 with about $1 billion in revenue for the whole year. So we'll keep an eye on this. But people are saying it's doing much better compared to $150 million for the same quarter a year ago. Data centers and Internet of Things have driven sales of Intel. Disclosure, I own Intel stock. So go Intel, you know, they released their Kaby Lake processor at CES, and they announced revenue earnings of 70 cents on 75 cents per share on revenue of $15.8 billion in the fourth quarter. For the full year, they were expected to earn $2.67 per share with a revenue of $58.9 billion. Quarter four earnings came in at $3.6 billion or $73 a share on revenue of $16.4 billion. A year ago, earnings were 74 cents a share at 14.9. So earnings are up. Beautiful bonus. Love it. But net income for the year was $10.3 billion, while overall revenue for the year was $59.4. So increase of $11.3 billion. So good on you, Intel. Good job. Keep rocking it. VMware, according to Barron's, jumped 4% quarter one revenue view beats the street. VMware's majority owned by privately held Dell. Basically, stock is at 87.47 4% up, and they're going to do a $1.2 billion share buyback. So that's good for stockholders that hold stock in VMware, all right? All right, we're going to get off earnings. And I think Google itself did real well, too. I don't know if they actually, well, maybe they didn't announce the Google earnings. They just did Alphabet only. But do you guys know about the first cat in space? I know we got some cat lovers, and we have some cat haters in the audience. It's just like some people love cats, some people hate cats, right? My wife is a Kate Hatter. She not a hater. She just doesn't like them. She says they're too sneaky. But did you guys know during the space race in 1963 that the French folks sent a small cat named Felix into space? So France was eager to stake its claim in the space race, so they sent a cat 130 miles above Earth on a liquid-fueled French Voronikh AG-1 rocket, soaring high above the Algerian Sahara Desert. The kitty cat returned 15 minutes later and was a decorated feline for her nation. And they got a 9-minute YouTube video that is absolutely hilarious. They were doing EKGs and brainwave checking on the cats and trying to see if that space shot up until the 130 miles up affected. You know, don't they know cats have 7 lives? Don't they know? A cat could have died 5 times on that trip and it wouldn't have mattered, right? Oh, man. So anyway, it's a good piece of history. Gmail is about to get a new security feature. It no longer will accept a JavaScript attachment, a .js. Google already is not allowing exe, .bat, .msc files. But starting February 13th, Gmail users won't be able to open a .js file. So that's another plus for them. You still can share .js files via Google Drive if you need to send stuff, send a JS file maybe that you've been programming on to someone else. Also, there's an article from Computer World about 8 useful Google apps you probably are not using. And there's only just a couple in this list that I want to turn you on to. Number one is Trusted Contacts. And the second one is, let me find it here. Where's it at? It was in the stack. Not that one. Not you. Oh, Chrome Remote Desktop. You use GoToMyPC? Don't need to. Chrome Remote Desktop browser doesn't even have to be open. Works like a charm. Okay? I can't do everything GoToMyPC does, but you can do a lot. Chrome Remote Desktop is one of Google's most powerful cross-platform tools, and it doesn't get nearly enough attention. That makes it dead simple to remotely access any desktop computer from your Android phone or from your computer. All you do is install the companion desktop Chrome extension, set up a PIN, and that's it. You can pull up your desktop on demand and access files, open programs, do anything else you need from the palm or from an opposite desktop. So, very cool stuff. But don't share your password, because bad things can happen. So anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes on that. You can look at all of them. 80 years later, scientists have finally turned hydrogen into a metal. You're saying, Todd, how is that possible? How did they change hydrogen, which is, you know, one of the most plentiful elements on the planet, and how did they change that to metal? Is that going to be the new way we're going to, make steel? Well, not quite. So, Smarty Pants scientist in 1935 predicted that the simplest element, hydrogen, could also become metallic under pressure. And they calculated it would take 25 gigapascals, whatever the heck that means, to force this transmission. Now, okay, they explained what a gigapascal is. A gigapascal is about 10,000 atmospheres of pressure. So 25 gigapascals would be 250,000 atmospheres of pressure. That's some serious pressure. Well, scientists did some testing, used some diamonds to compress hydrogen together. How they did this, I have no clue. but it didn't take 25. It took somewhere between 465 and 495 gigapascals to create a shimmering metal object, I guess. Is that the right way to say it? From a hydrogen atom. That's kind of cool. Link will be up in the show notes. Why anyone would pursue this, I don't know. What is the applicable? It's not like we're going to build spaceships from this technology. Who knows? What's the biggest hard drive you have? Right now, my biggest hard drive I have is an external 8 terabyte hard drive. It's a monster. I love it. I looked at some 10 terabyte internals, but I was a little by the price because they were about $400 a piece. But I need more. It's soon. I'm running out of storage already. My NAS is just about full. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy another network attached storage device, and I'm going to use it for cold storage. And what I want to do is I want to put 10 terabyte drives in a RAID configuration, so that I can essentially take all the media, all this video, everything that I'm recording, that I'm archiving, which I don't know why I'm saving, and I'll have it won't make up 50 terabytes. It'll probably, with the RAID and everything, it'll probably be more like probably 20 or 25, something like that, 25 terabytes of storage. I'm going to take all the stuff that is really kind of like cold storage and put that into another NAS while I'm making room on the NAS I have now from Synology, that is basically just going to continue to do the docs, the music files, the movies, you know, the type of stuff that we all have that we'd like to back up. But because of all the video I'm shooting and everything else, the storage is getting crazy. So it's going to be a cold storage device. It's going to basically, I'm going to turn it up when I need it, move stuff in. It won't run consistently or continuously. But Seagate has got a roadmap to go 14 and 16 terabyte drives within 18 months. They want to release a 20 terabyte drive in the next 3 years, but I'll settle for 10 at this point. But, you know, I just don't have the $2,500 to outlay to buy 5 drives plus the Synology, the new NAS I'm going to buy. So, you know, I could get away with not making it a RAID and get like a 2-drive system and just have another 10 terabytes of storage. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what we do here. But what are you guys using? For those of you that are just storing a lot of media, kind of cold storage stuff, are you sending it up to the cloud? I really don't want it there, per se. I back a lot of stuff up on S3 now, but I just don't want to dump terabytes and terabytes of stuff into like the Amazon longtime cold storage. I want it more accessible than that. There's a plan to my madness on this, but I'm not going to share it yet. But what are you guys doing at home? I'm not so worried. You know, if there's a fire and I lose them, because I'm already backing up the computers already to the cloud, standard backup for the standard stuff, but most of this video content that is huge, I'm not sending that to the cloud. What are you guys doing? Love to hear from you and again, big files if you're doing any of that type of storage. Hollywood is really, you know, they've done a lot of things with taking books and converting them into movies. You know, Game of Thrones, The Martian, Outlander, The Man in the High Castle, Expanse. There's a movie out now. I read the book from a number of years ago, and my son was telling me about it. I think it's in the movie theaters now. What is it called? It's where aliens come and basically take over bodies, take over humans, and take over the planet, and there's a resistance. What is the name of it? But anyway, it doesn't matter. But Hollywood is using a lot of science fiction books and stuff. It's big. And, you know, I'm a voracious book reader, so I'm excited when the only series I haven't read is Game of Thrones. I've been so enthralled in the television series that I've never read the books. I probably should, but I've read everything else that's out there. So it's kind of a bit of a spoiler, but it's fun to watch the books made into movies. I don't know, I'm a big fan of that genre. How about you guys? There's so many good authors out there with good storylines. They definitely make fantastic movies. All right, Tesla's in the news. They have sued the former autopilot head for theft of secrets and employee poaching. Chris Urmson, former self-driving technical lead at Google, has been sued as well. Tesla's suing Sterling Anderson, the former program manager of its autopilot team, and Chris Urmson, the former lead of Google's self-driving car program, alleging that Anderson and Urmson worked together to poach Tesla employees to a new venture Urmson was starting called Aurora Innovation. They said they took the tech with them. The complaint filed in California Court of Santa Clara alleges that they attempted to recruit at least 12 Tesla engineers. Okay, you're going to take your knowledge in your head. How can they sue to take the knowledge? You got stuff in your head. Are you not going to repurpose it? As long as you didn't take the code and, what you have in your brain. I don't know. There's weird rules with that, and I don't fully understand. These lawsuits typically don't go very far. And, but they claim he's using his laptop and, so there's all kinds of allegations going on this. So we'll watch this one. Some people say love is a reflection of who you are. Okay, I don't know about that. But men in China are paying $1,500 on rent-a-date apps for the Chinese New Year. Okay, so are they like going to Backpage, or are they going to some places like that and finding an escort, or what exactly are they doing? Well, Reuters is reporting that girlfriend rental apps are enjoying a boost as the Chinese New Year approaches this weekend. In these times when Tinder is the night, it's not enough to swipe your way to a lover and hope that he or she likes you back. Instead, the Chinese men are going to apps such as romantically dubbed Hire Me Please and Offer Money. Now, we're not talking about a few bucks here. Prospective girlfriends and boyfriends for hire are charging 10,000 won a day. That's around $1,500 just to save. Basically go out on a date during the, and I don't know if take a picture, if they're trying to make their parents think that they're trying to get a, have a girlfriend and show that they're making progress in there. I don't fully understand it, but it must be in Chinese society. It must be big to show that you're not alone. And, it kind of has me, we have a listener. Spends a lot of time in China. You know who you are, Mr. Brown. What is the story here? I want to hear from you specifically on what is there. Is it because there was such a policy for so long that there's so few women because there's so many more boys than girls in China that there's, the dating pool is very competitive, or what's the story there? I know that there's a lot more girls being born now because China lifted the one child policy and all that stuff. But is it just, there's so much of a delta now that there are some guys are just not going to have a chance to ever find a girlfriend or a wife? And, what's the story? So, we will see if the good doctor, and he is a doctor, a very good doctor, can weigh in for us and tell us what the story is there with the Chinese to Chinese dating scene, and what the situation is. So we'll get the details. And someone that's maybe listening to the show that's from China, you can tell me the same, or someone that has a Chinese wife or is Chinese, and you can give me some insight, let us know. Probably best if you're from mainland China, not necessarily from Taiwan. I'd like to hear how this is working out. Yeah, weird for tech show, but I just thought it was weird that they were talking about this app where the, basically, to me, it kind of sounded like an app that was designed for rendezvous for pay, not necessarily rendezvous just for a date, go to dinner type of thing. All right, Facebook's latest move could send off a virtual reality frenzy. Former Xiaomi Xiaomi executive, I pronounced it wrong, I know, Xiaomi executive Hugo Berra has been appointed a new head of Facebook's VR business. And if his work history is any indicator, Facebook could bring its standalone Santa Cruz VR headset to the masses even faster than initially expected. Berra led the international expansion of Xiaomi, which was considered just a startup when he joined the company less than 4 years ago. So we'll see where this goes. So they've hired the dude to get him from point A to point B. And we'll see where it leads. VR is going to change everything. You guys are going to be watching this show in VR in 10 years. The motherlode of Galaxy S8 leaks just landed. You even care what the new S8 looks like? Are you burnt on Samsung? I haven't heard from you guys. You guys going to buy the Samsung Galaxy S8? You going to stick with the brand? We talked about the brand on the last show. So it's kind of a cloudy picture. Let me see if I can bring it up here for you. VentureBeat scored it. So yes, it's a cell phone. Silver back, glass front. It is what it is. Oh, I got to tell you guys something. So, you know, I upgraded iPhone 7. My iPhone 6, my son's been using it. And we've been going to the gym. I've been telling him, leave the cell phone in the car. And the reason was, you guys know where this is going, the case he had was kind of like a designer case. It really wasn't a super protective case. And I told him, I said, you know, get the Mophie case, put the Mophie case on it, and then you can use it in the gym. Well, he didn't listen to me. And he was in the gym, and some guy walked by him and caught his earphones, pulled the phone out of his pocket, dropped to the concrete, and you guessed it, broke the screen. So, after I told him not to take the phone into the gym until he was using the Mophie case, my young 13-year-old is going to owe Dad $127 when we go to get the screen fixed. He is obviously not very happy, but actions have consequences, and 13-year-olds that still have Christmas money left over that didn't listen to Dad gets to pay for the repair of the screen that he caused because he disobeyed. So making him sweat a lot right now. I think that's what it's going to cost. It may be a little cheaper, but I told him tonight, count your cash, tell me how much you got. You know, I need it in hand before we go get your screen fixed. And he said, well, I can still work it. I said, it's going to progressively get worse. Moisture's going to get in. We have to get it replaced or it's going to ruin it. So anyway, yes, indeed. Busted the screen. I was so pissed. You have no idea. It was everything I could do to keep from yelling at him in a public place. I probably should have. And embarrassed him, and you know, then that would have, you know, maybe had a bigger impression. But I held my tongue and I waited till we get in the car. So I had about 3 minutes to, you know, calm down a little bit. Therese says, there's pressure to be with a partner at New Year. Oh, is that okay? Understood. Not Chinese, but I think one aspect is a new year. There's pressure to show your elderly relatives that you're moving along and getting closer to marriage. Ah, makes sense. The old parental pressure tactic. Showing them, oh yeah, I got a girlfriend, mom, grandma. Yeah, don't worry. We're doing well. Rent a date. Oh my gosh. HBO Go now supports Apple TV app and a single sign-on feature. That's cool. And the Apple recently TV app is Apple's recently released TV app is slowly picking up partners with HBO, adding support to its HBO Go app in an update pushed out earlier today. So those of you got Apple TV, you got HBO Go, fire it up. All right, Senator Franken has asked AT&T to prove Time Warner merger is a good for customers. Now this is a little sneaky deal. AT&T and Time Warner only have to seek FCC review if Time Warner transfers the FCC licenses to AT&T and the companies have been working on a on a underhanded plan in which Time Warner would transfer or sell those licenses to someone else. By divesting of relevant licenses, AT&T Time Warner will no longer have a legal burden of proving that the proposal would serve the public interest, and the public is left largely in the dark about the deal. So, good job by the senator in demanding that AT&T provide this information. He wasn't the only one. What was the other two senators? Where's the list? Oh my gosh, where the heck? I saw it in here. Oh, wait a minute, is this it? Okay, Senator Froken letter to AT&T CEO Stephen Reston, Time Warner CEO. There's some more senators involved. I'm sorry, I'm just not seeing it here. But anyway, he's going to get an answer, and make him respond as if they would have to respond to the FCC. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep watching this. These telephone companies buying up media assets, you know, they see the handwriting on the wall, my friends. They really, really do. Now, we talked at the beginning of the show that everyone just needs to take a deep breath, right? Everyone needs to calm down, take a break from Facebook, take a break from CNN, Fox News, ABC, MSNBC, everyone, right? Just kind of take 2 or 3 days off. You can go to the beach, go snow skiing, you know, just do something else. And, you know, some people, though, are reading books. And the number one book that Amazon just sold out of is the 1984 George Orwell book, 1984. If any of you read this book, you're going to laugh, because the 1984 classic, George Orwell's dystopian classic, 1984, occupied the number one spot on Amazon best-selling books yesterday, where it remains today, a cautionary tale about the brutal, amoral dictator has evidently felt relevant to people lately. And they're unable to keep up with demand. So, it's about a prophecy about the future. And someone had tweeted a few, maybe a week ago, that George Orwell's predictions from 1984 were coming true. The end of the world is not here. Have a cocktail, get off Facebook, get off the news outlets, and in 2 or 3 days, when you come back, we're also going to be here. Nothing has changed. Calm down. Calm. Breathe. Oh, man. It's just, I mean, wow. That's all I can say. Stop the doom and gloom, folks. All right, let me double check and see if I've got any email that's come in. If this show doesn't drive comments, nothing will. We're long today. All right, no email. You guys didn't love me, so nothing to talk about at the end of the show. I do appreciate everyone being here, tuning in. I hope you had a good time. I had a good time bringing the show to you today. And be Saturday with a new media show. Then I'll be back with you all next week. Not going anywhere. I'm home, and no travel until the end of February, when I'm heading out to Tampa and to see my daughter, then Orlando. So looking forward to. And if anyone's in the Tampa Orlando area, please let me know. Can't promise anything for Tampa, because I'm gonna hang out with her. I haven't seen her in a couple of years, so I'm gonna use the 24 hours wisely with her and her fiance. So, Orlando, probably some more opportunities, but going to PodFest in Florida. So it's a good podcast event to be there for a couple of days, plus some meetings. So everyone, thanks for being with me today. GeekNews@gmail.com. Please follow me on Twitter @GeekNews. Continue to support my sponsor, GoDaddy.com, to help me keep the lights on here, and share my codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Don't write it on the bathroom wall, but if there's a legal bulletin board to put the link to the page, please do that. Don't deface anything, no graffiti, but share my GoDaddy codes with all your friends and neighbors. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Central Podcast. Take care. Aloha.